With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, mylifeinabook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book. So here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let My Life in a Book choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice. And My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, mylifeinabook.com.
Hello, listeners. Are you ready to spring into making healthy choices? Like actually going to the gym, not just putting on the gym shoes? Well, I am. And I have also been making the healthy choice to cut back on alcoholic beverages during the week. Recess mocktails make it so easy to do. These zero-proof craft mocktails are the replacement that allows you to enjoy the ritual of pouring yourself a fabulous drink at only 25 calories or less. Have that friend that alcohol tends to make a little extra chatty? Offer them a recess mocktail at your next get-together. Be a crowd pleaser. Everyone enjoys a recess lime margarita. It's the perfect guilt-free drink in between drinks. Our listeners can enjoy 15% off at takearecess.com/clink. So you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences. That's takearecess.com/clink.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay.
And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Housewives of True Crime. Housewives of True Crime. Welcome.
Welcome.
I'm so happy to see you alive all the way in Oklahoma, in the Tahlequah.
Live from Tahlequah. I'm alive.
I'm pretty impressed.
You should be. I mean, I don't even know if it is technically Tahlequah because it is in the middle of BFE. I mean, like no cell service. No, I took a lot of dirt roads to get to my destination. Saw a couple armadillos on the way. Yep. Last time I think I had reception, I was passing the Rabbit Trap Cafe, which I thought was a real interesting name. So I took note.
Did you take pictures at least?
No, I did not. I was just like, oh, Toto, we are not in Kansas anymore.
Oh, my God. I am so glad you made it.
But it's green, about a million degrees, but beautiful.
Is it the humid kind of million degrees?
Yeah, it's pretty humid.
Do you have makeup on already?
Well, I have. That's funny you ask because, yeah, actually, I was able to do my lashes and my nails because on the way here, there was a unfortunate tragic accident involving a semi-truck and it's just a 2-lane highway. So I had an hour and a half to kill. So by the time I showed up, I looked real pretty.
Oh, that's awful. So sorry, but I'm so glad that you're alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have time to check your Instagram? Because we have some Britney news.
I have been, you know, being social because I'm with family, but I did see a little something about something her brother is saying something.
Yeah. I mean, her brother went on some podcast, not ours.
Damn it.
I know, fucker. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty sad story. He's like, she does not drive. She does. I mean, I think she has locked in that house and all she has is the boyfriend. Thank heavens.
Yeah, but we all knew that. And that's what they need to do maybe is just kind of tell us. Like, so what's the deal?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that would be better.
Yeah.
That would be better. But guess what? I saw some cool celebs. I thought
where?
That you would be.
Where did you go?
Okay.
The Grove. So. What are you doing? You can't go shopping.
In Malibu.
Ooh, no, that's fancy.
One of my favorite destinations.
Yeah, it sure is.
And right when I got there, I saw your favorite, or maybe not your favorite, but one of your faves, Dorit.
Oh, yeah. I like Dorit. She's a fashionista.
Dude, yeah, she was actually even there. She had some real chunky, big white shoes on. Kind of like, you know, those work boots that men wear?
Yeah.
Doing construction?
Mm-hmm.
She had a white version of that. And PK was actually wearing the men's version. Like straight up.
Oh, matchy matchy?
His weren't white. His were like, what is the brand? Like Columbus or something? What is that brand? Oh, no.
You think it's Carhartt?
I forget what the brand is, you guys. Carhartt. I think it might be that. I don't know what the brand is, but whatever. You know, they're like tan color with like the dark.
No, Timberlands. Those. That's what it is.
Timberland. That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was wearing those and she was wearing the white version. And then she had some like tights on, real long wavy hair. Like she used that crimper that has like the three little.
Yeah, I have one of those. Of course it works for her. It does not. It don't work for me. It makes me look real stupid. But you know what I love about her?
It works for her because she has fake hair.
Oh, yeah. I love the way she talks to her husband. I feel like we could use some lessons from her. Like, they just, like, adore each other. You know, you never see her, like, oh, PK, ugh. You know, rolling her eyes, like, ugh. You never get that. All the other ones do. She adores him.
Does she really? Because he is not cute at all.
He's charming.
It's the accent.
I love an accent. I do.
I know. That's the only reason. And then I saw Joe Montana.
You saw Joe Montana and you knew who it was, Tab? I'm so proud of you.
I know. I knew you would be. I did recognize him. And then I'm like, who is that? Who is that? Like racking my brain, you know?
Oh,
and then I'm
like, oh, my God, you guys. It's Tabitha's worst quality is she doesn't know dick about football. Irritates the shit out of me. I am so happy for you.
I know. So his sons are so handsome. My whole table of girls that we went with was like drooling.
Swoon. Yeah.
Hopefully they're over 18. I think they're in their 20s, but they're a little young.
Some like, lucky lady. How cool is the last name Montana? I mean, that is like.
Oh, totally.
That's where it's at. Yeah.
I know, right? And his wife is so. I mean, the whole family was just like.
Gorgeous.
A
hate
dream
them.
Family.
Yeah. Stupid. Yeah.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
And then while I was walking out, I saw two musicians that I always see. It's no surprise, but very cool. Travis Barker from Blink 182
mm-hmm.
and Chad Smith from Red Hot Chili Peppers. So
just being cool, having Nobu on like a Wednesday.
It was a Wednesday. And we had a conversation about who our celebrity, like who would you do if you could like do anybody a cheat. What is that called?
A hall pass.
A hall pass. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And these girls, only one of them really knows me. The others, they all know me, but not like know me.
Mm-hmm.
Not like all you guys listening know me. Okay.
Yeah.
And when I said Justin Bieber, they all almost fell off their fucking chair.
Oh my God.
That's how much they actually don't know me.
Yeah, they
I feel
really
like
don't.
Everybody would know that.
Yeah.
Then I said Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, if he was sitting right here, I'd go to the bathroom with him in a hot minute. They were like, what? I'm like, no, I would.
Well, they've just never seen it in person. I've seen it in person where you're like, I'm in love. let's find out. That's it.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Hey, who would your hall pass be?
I'm going to have to think on that, Tab.
I mean, I would have said Matthew McConaughey forever.
No, but he's
I
not doing it for
that's
me.
That's it anymore.
Maybe Will Ferrell.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Well,
I love
then
him.
You would like Chad Smith. He looks just like Will Ferrell.
Oh, he's not
from
funny, though.
Chili Peppers. Oh, I know. The funny factor.
The funny thing is, it's what does it for me. Sorry, Fred.
True. Well, you are telling the story today, which you already told. Thank heavens.
I already told it before we left. So this is really live from Okie Smokies, Muskogees.
Yeah. And clink, clink. I hope you're drinking a lot of that squirt and tequila.
It's Moscato out of a box. And
did you get a headache?
Yes, I did. And but beggars can't be choosers. So I'm going with it. Also, we need an extra clink clink because we're all alive because we survived the Daybell's prediction that the world was going to end.
Holy shit. I know.
We did. You know, so clink clink to that, y'all. And just so you know, I mean, it kind of hurt me a little bit because I've been taking my kids to Sonic and I did eat one of those blasts. Because I thought I'm not going down
without having something ice cream. Like that.
Right. Just in case.
I know. Me too. So
and it was
I
delicious.
Also had ice cream.
Yeah.
And a little dessert. Mm-hmm. Because if I wasn't going to wake up, I'd be real pissed that I didn't.
So that bitch Lori made us a little bit fatter. That's how evil
you know
she
what?
Is. Evil, evil schmeeple.
Why don't we just call everybody Lori's? Instead of Karen
and Chrissy's. Because people are loving those Chrissy t-shirts. Get some, y'all. Get some.
Yes, they are. We just had some guy join our group, and he said that he would stop listening if you ever stop saying, eat a dick, Chrissy.
Oh, I never will. I never will.
All right. Well, clink, clink to your Moscato in a box and your mm-hmm. headache. I hope you brought a lot of Advil.
I did. I'm prepared. Just in case we catch COVID on the road, I'm a walking pharmacy.
Okay, good. And I am drinking my Crystal Light.
Okay.
Still.
Good for you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's hear your episode.
Let's do it. All right, Tab. Today, I am going to tell you about a crime that took place in Springfield, Missouri.
Mm.
Heard of it?
I have. I think I've been
Population.
There.
You do?
Yeah, because my stepdad is from St. Joseph, Missouri.
Oh, interesting. So. Okay. Well, it's a pretty big place. Population 168,000.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a nice little house for $150,000 and a McMansion for $1 million.
Are we moving?
Yeah, dude, for $1 million, you get a shack in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't own. Yeah. Okay. In 2012, it was home to the Stodd family. Mark and Diane married out of college. Mark got a degree in communications, but much like my degree, he never put it to use. He was a music man. He was real passionate about playing in a blues band. And he was like the front guy. He was real good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So playing weekend gigs in Missouri doesn't really pay the bills. So it was a good thing that Diane was an RN. She made enough money to support the family. The couple had 4 children, 3 girls and 1 boy. Mark was known as kind of a Mr. Mom, and people thought that the whole, like, you know, Mr. Mom, the wife, you know, going out, bringing home the bacon and him doing the kid raising was unusual, apparently, but like not a big deal. They seemed like an all right family. One day, Mark got sick. His bandmates told him, "You look like shit, bro." And they told him he needed to get checked out. He was like sweating, off color, you know, when someone just has that.
Heart problems. That means heart problems.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they thought, right? He's this middle-aged guy. Okay. But
sadly, he didn't go to the doctor like a lot of men.
Like every man that I know, they all resist going to the damn doctor.
Yeah. So on a Sunday morning, while his family was all at church, it was actually Easter Sunday. Family's all at church. He stays home because he's sick and he passed away. They came home to find him dead in bed.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Should have gone to the doctors.
Should have gone to the doctor, Mark. Now, this was really sad, but Mark's friends and families say they weren't that surprised because Mark, you know, he smoked and drank and he was in his 60s and he never really took care of himself. And so, you know, that happens to middle-aged men. Sometimes they just drop dead.
Yeah, it's true. Heart attack, whatever. Especially if you're unhealthy.
Yeah. So there wasn't an autopsy because the coroner ruled it was natural causes and he was cremated. Diane threw the funeral at her church. And by the way, Diane loved church. She was a bit musical too, like her husband. She actually played the organ for the church. Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds like torturous to me.
Playing the organ?
Organ music, I don't find pleasing.
No, I don't either. Why do they have that at the church? I'd rather a piano only.
Yeah.
Piano is so beautiful to me. And organ is like...
When I do go to church, which is never, but when I do go, they play much better music.
Well, because the church that you go to is like all hipster.
Yeah. Okay. So Mark is, you know, passed away, gone, dead. And Diane received a $20,000 payout in life insurance.
Not that much.
$20,000, not very much. It's, you know, not chump change, but not that much money either. Mm-hmm. But it was enough for Diane to move her and the kids out of the house, you know, because they don't want to stay in the house where her husband had died.
Okay, I can understand that.
And, you know, they got a fresh start in a new neighborhood. When her and the kids moved, they kept to themselves. Neighbor Rhonda, which I love that name, Rhonda.
Rhonda?
Help me, Rhonda, right?
Help me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda. That one.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. It is a pretty name.
Yeah. She said she tried to, you know, holler at them. But they never made eye contact. They just closed the garage and left her hanging when she tried to wave, which I am still trying to do that with my new neighbors.
With the sons.
I have not made eye contact since the one day when they threw the drunk part, you know, the party.
Yeah.
I still haven't said hello.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I know, right?
It's that Orange County mentality.
They're evasive. Yeah, but I did figure out that the dad drives both the Tesla and the truck. Like he's evening it out. Isn't that interesting?
That's what I thought. I thought he had both of them.
Fascinating. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So back to the story. So fine, what other people, some people think it's not smart to get to know your neighbors. Clearly, my neighbors all think that about me. You know what they say, you know, don't shit in your own backyard. Okay.
Okay.
So Diane Stott and the kids didn't completely keep to themselves all the time. Diane and her daughter, Rachel, were on Facebook a decent amount. Rachel was at Missouri State at the time that her dad passed away, and her sister, Sarah, was also at school in her final semester. So let me tell you a little bit about Diane's Facebook. I am sure we all know someone like this in our Facebook lives. Diane is that old lady that just posts memes like 95% of the time.
That's like all of our panic party. I just post memes too because I think
I know,
so
but
funny.
At least our memes in panic party are all funny. Diane's memes are all like Bible quotes and cute animals. Like, that's it.
Okay. Yeah. I know lots of people like that, actually.
Yeah. I have I think it's pretty common. I have relatives like that's all they, you know, all they post.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, you know, no shame in that game. Okay. She rarely posts anything about her kids, with the exception of her daughter, Rachel. Rachel and Diane have a thing on Facebook. They are like, you are the best one ever. Like, it's always like, oh, mom, thank you for my mom. She's the best mom in the world. And, you know.
Back and forth like that.
Yeah, back and forth. Yeah, it's a little extra.
Yeah.
Okay. So after Mark passed away, Diane posted, sadly, my husband of 27 years went on to his eternal home. Within the week, she was back to posting memes about chocolate, puppies, and God. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone really judged Diane for being so business as usual on Facebook, but when Rachel posted on her Facebook that she had never seen her mom so chill within a month of her dad passing away, people did think, that's kind of an interesting to post.
Like, weight has been lifted off the mom's shoulders kind of chill. Like, oh my God, my mom is like the best.
That's literally what the post literally says. Wow, I've never seen my mom so chill.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, it kind of makes sense when you take a little deeper look
into
the family dynamic. Mm-hmm. It turns out the whole Mr. Mom arrangement for the Stodd family was not really working for Diane. She had grown real resentful of Mark never having a real job and her shouldering all the financial burden for the family. So she wasn't exactly torn up about his sudden death.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, a weight has been lifted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went through years of Diane's timeline. She wasn't feeling him. Like, I don't think she ever went to one of her husband's gigs. You know, which I would think you would do, right?
I would.
I don't think she went anywhere but work and church, just based off that.
Okay.
According to nosy neighbor Rhonda, she doesn't even know how Diane got her mail because she was always checking for her and she never saw her.
You're like a Rhonda.
Yeah, I am. I'm Rhonda.
I'm going to call you a Rhonda.
I was like, I know this girl. Yeah. Okay. Rhonda didn't know anything about the dad, Mark, passing away since they had moved to the neighborhood after. It's not like they had conversations where they said that they lost their husband.
Yeah.
She had lost her husband 5 months ago. So one day when Rhonda was, you know, looking out.
Snooping.
Something stopped her dead in her tracks. The county coroner was in the driveway. When he left, Rhonda took herself right on over to the house and said, hey, I saw the coroner was here. Are you all okay?
Yeah.
And according to Rhonda, Diane very matter-of-factly said, yeah, my son died.
What?
Yeah. Rhonda thought, like, yeah, just like you. What? Oh my God, that's awful. But she noted that Diane did not seem that broke up about it. What is with her? So the son was Sean Stodd. He was 26. And according to Diane, he had the flu and had suffered from seizures in the past. And she wasn't sure, but imagined that it was a fatal seizure that was the cause of his death. There was an autopsy, but Sean's death remained kind of a mystery. And there just weren't a lot of people around to raise many questions. Sean was autistic and he didn't appear to have many friends. Diane didn't even hold a funeral for him or post an obituary.
Dude, she's a cold-hearted bitch.
Yeah, she is. She just cremated her son and like called it a day. Within a week, she was back to posting memes about her love of coffee and her daughter, Rachel. She did not post a single picture of Sean. In fact, I don't think she ever posted a picture of him. They weren't even Facebook friends. Sean had 19 friends on Facebook and no one even acknowledged that he died. Like, I don't think they were people he like knew in real life. Mm-hmm. His posts are all like, you know, cartoons and farts and immature, like boy stuff. But I think it's really sad that he has just been kind of
forgotten.
Yeah.
A forgotten soul. That's so sad.
Yeah. So no males in the house. It's just Diane, her 12-year-old daughter, Brianna, Rachel, and Sarah. Sarah hadn't really gotten her shit together since she graduated. She had majored in French.
Oh, well, that's useful.
Parlez-vous français, right? And French translator jobs are not so easy to come by in Springfield, Missouri.
I mean, sometimes I question people when they do shit like that. Like, it's a beautiful language, but
what are you gonna do with it? Teach French. That's what you have to do. So her student loans were starting to add up, and Diane wanted her to move out and support herself. Like, Diane, I'm thinking, maybe cut her some slack. Her dad and her brother died this year. But like I've told you, Diane, she don't dwell on life's downers. She was over it. Well, Sarah never got a chance to get it together and, you know, show Diane that she could put that French degree to use because she got real sick.
Now she's sick.
Real sick. Now she's sick.
And did we ever find out how the Sean died?
No.
No. Okay.
Diane and Rachel took her to the hospital and she was admitted to the ICU. Now Diane took to Facebook again and asked for prayers. Sarah's body was shutting down and she suffered a brain hemorrhage that left her with irreversible brain damage, but the doctors could not figure out what was wrong. Then police showed up at the hospital and asked them if Sarah's condition could be a result of poisoning. And the doctor said, well, yeah, actually, that would make sense. You see, the police had gotten a phone call from an anonymous tipster who thought that something didn't smell right with all these sudden tragedies going on in the Stott house.
Rhonda? Was it Rhonda?
It was not Rhonda.
No. I was hoping it was Rhonda.
I thought it was Rhonda when I first learned it was an anonymous tipster.
It's got to be somebody at church.
You're right.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. It was Diane's pastor. Pastor? This is always
it's a pastor.
Pastor. Okay. So while Sarah was still in the ICU, Diane apparently was still going to church. And the pastor learned that Sarah was like in the ICU and not expected to make it from another churchgoer. Now, given that there had been two previous deaths in the family in the past year, and Diane was like, no sweat, you don't need to find someone else to play the organ on Sunday, he thunk, something's whack. So he called the police. So while Sarah is fighting for her life, police bring in Diane to question her. In the interview, they ask her about her husband and her son. And she is very casual about it, even like jovial, which remember her daughter is in ICU. So it's way crazy that she's like, oh yeah, well, yeah. Okay. My husband and son. Yes. They both passed away.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah. So surprisingly, it doesn't seem to take much for the truth to come out. The detectives ask her, so basically all of your family members had flu-like symptoms and then died or almost died because your daughter's in ICU. And Diane says, well, okay, I think they were all drinking antifreeze because they wanted to kill themselves. And she tells police, I'm real mad about it.
Oh my God, this woman.
Yeah. Then the detective just says, you know, I think that you know that they were all drinking antifreeze, Diane, because you were giving it to them. And she says, okay, I was.
Oh my God. And then she just confesses to it?
That's it. Yeah. She went on to explain that she hated her husband's guts.
Oh.
He was a deadbeat. And Sean and Sarah were just burdens on her, and that she thought they would never grow up and contribute, and that they always trash the house.
Wow.
So I get that. I mean, okay, bad joke. Just kidding.
Listen, I got home last night at my house was clean. And when we got home at 6:30. I woke up today at 7 a.m. to a house that was trashed. I don't know how it happens.
It happens fast.
It happens so fast. It's like,
that is the best feeling though. Like when you get home from vacation, that you have your shit together enough that you've like made the beds before you left.
Yes. That is a really good feeling.
That makes me so happy.
It does.
Because it doesn't. 90% of the time, that is not the case in my
house.
It's
like 99.9% of the time. This time, I forgot. I was like, oh my God, it's so awesome to come in here. And then I woke up in the morning and it was shit everywhere.
Yeah. Right.
Halfway because we had to unload our car. And then, you know, I got to put it all away now. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone, and I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year, and I really love the French language, so I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And they have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now, they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is, it starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences, and then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Nobody's trying to have that. Enter Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Genius! You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run again. Refills start at just $2.25. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine, y'all. When I received my first shipment of Blue Land, I was blown away by how this simple concept just makes so much sense. It's so easy. You just drop the tablet into the stylish functional bottles and get your clean on. I love the subscription option because I am not trying to get one more bulky item in my cart. Blue Land products really get the job done and leave my home smelling so fresh. fresh and clean, Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this, guys. blueland.com/clink for 15% off.
So she's pissed that they're making messes and she's
They're not going to contribute. She's sick of being the one that is making all the money to support everyone.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm sure 99% of women feel that way and some men too.
It's totally bizarre to hear this like holier than thou woman. I mean, she is like devout into the church. And when you read through all of her stuff, everything is, you know, I love me some Jesus. It's like, how do you rectify this? I do not think that God is cool with you poisoning your family to death. Okay.
Hello. There is a thing called the Ten Commandments. And one of them is like, thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not kill. Right.
Thou shalt not lie. I mean, there's like a few of them that she's doing right now.
And let me tell you, antifreeze is a bad way to go. You have to give it to them over a period of time. It's not like just one dose will do you in. Like she had to have been poisoning them for weeks and watched them just fall apart. Watch all someone's organs.
That's awful.
You know, quit on them and get horribly sick. She said that she put it in their Coca-Cola, which, again, it's like, how much Coca-Cola do you drink? She could continually put antifreeze in it. I mean, I don't know. I don't buy soda.
They must be drinking a lot of Coca-Cola, but how much antifreeze does it take? Probably not that much.
She said a couple of teaspoons in all their drinks. This also blows my mind that they drank so much soda because they're all extra skinny.
Oh.
Extra.
Maybe they drank diet.
Yeah. Listen, look, it was not diet. It was regular, full on Coca-Cola. Listen, looking at Diane, she's so skinny. I think maybe she just needed to like order some pizza and some edibles. and she wouldn't have been so aggro about, you know, nobody picking up her house.
Edibles.
That's what I think.
That actually probably wouldn't have been the best thing for her.
The best thing for Diane. I think edibles were made for Diane.
Calm her shit down.
Yes. Yes. Because I would imagine that a lot of hangry people commit murder.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
No one eats a pizza and an edible and then is like, I'm going to poison my kids.
No. I mean, not that I know of.
Doesn't. Okay. PSA. Okay. So the detective gets her to spill the beans about, you know, how she did it in the Coca-Cola and everything. And then he asks her to get up. Like, and he says, you know, Diane, we're going to have to arrest you. And he puts the cuffs on her and she's like, oh, okay, yeah, arrest me. Formalities. I get it. Like, she's still joking with them. Like, it's no big deal. So Diane's arrested and they proceed with the investigation by questioning Rachel about what she knows about how batshit crazy her mom is. And they are also searching the house while she's being interviewed. So they're just questioning Rachel like, we're going to build a case against your mama. So they're just trying to get any more details they can for their case.
Right.
Okay, so at the house, they find the antifreeze was in plain sight right next to the Coca-Cola, and they also found a journal that belonged to Rachel. And one particular entry had them saying, what the fuck? It was dated a year prior, so before anyone had died. And it read, it's sad that my dad will die in the next 2 months, and my brother will pass shortly after. It will be tough getting used to the changes, but it will all work out in the end.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So when Rachel's interview started, like I said, it was just an interview to see what she knew about Diane, but mid-interview is when they learned about this journal. And then they were briefed. and about the discovery of this and everything that it said. And so the interview turned into, you know, interrogation, right?
Yeah.
Rachel initially tried to say that she had written in her journal because she had been having some dreams about everyone dying.
Okay.
But just like her mom, it didn't take much for her to admit, like, okay, mom and I started talking one Christmas about, you know, offing everyone.
Oh.
So we started Googling the best way to do it together, and we learned antifreeze is the way to go.
Oh my God.
Bananas. Okay. At first, Rachel says it was just supposed to be her dad. But her mom insisted on Sean and Sarah too because they were such burdens. You can really see the similarity in Rachel and her mother's personalities because they both have this way of explaining killing everyone like it's logical. They describe it like you would say, we were out of white wine, so I had red. They were all a burden, so we got rid of them. Pass the butter. I mean, it's just like this very monotone, matter-of-fact way they have of describing it. So the result of this was they end up arresting Rachel too. And they came across some more creative writing that Rachel had penned in her purse. It was a poem that said, at first there were six, and now there are three. Only the quiet ones remain, my mom, my little sister, and me. Creepy.
Creepy.
Okay.
Really effing creepy.
Yeah. I mean, she's just walking around with this little note in her purse.
What is so wrong with people?
Yeah, never put anything in writing. You're so dumb. Okay, so apparently the last three, like she says in her poem, wasn't even the final goal tab. When police questioned Rachel a couple of days later, she said they were going to get to her 12-year-old sister, Brianna, eventually too.
What is wrong with these fucking psychos? This is serial killer shit in the own family,
yeah.
Which is
real
weird.
So police also asked her, why did you take Sarah to the hospital? I mean, I imagine that they are asking her this, probably think like, did y'all have some kind of
remorse?
Regret?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is her response.
Because houses are nasty after somebody's died in it.
Okay, and what does that mean? What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
I get a lot of nightmares. Like after Sean died, I moved into his room and it was awful, awful, awful in there.
Okay, so Tab, what'd you think about that?
What do I think about that? I think she's like loco in the cabeza.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's so weird. And it's such a weird relationship. They say they are the only ones that really understand each other, Rachel and her mom. It's like they're in love, but it's mother and daughter. It's super icky.
Yeah.
Icky is like the only word I can like think of.
So I know some mother-daughter pairs that are like a little too close to, and I'm not talking like a pedophilia type of thing, but they
have
this like really interesting bond, you know?
Yeah. There's a show that came out on Wii. I haven't watched it, surprisingly. It's called like Smothered. And these moms like take showers with their adult children.
Yes. I have heard about this show and I've heard different things about it. And that is exactly like that, right? They have some really strange relationship and it's got to have come from the mother manipulating the daughter from birth. You know what I mean? It's got to be like a slow progression of mind fucking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my, from watching this whole family, it's like this Rachel, she was the smartest one in the family.
How, was she the oldest?
She was not the oldest. She was the third in line.
Oh.
So it was Sean and then Sarah and then Rachel. But Rachel was the brightest and she was musically talented and artistic.
She had everything that the mom wanted in a child.
Wanted to be. Yes. Yes.
And everybody else probably had something lacking that the mom just didn't like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how old was Rachel when they got arrested?
23, I think.
An adult.
Like maybe younger than that, maybe 21,
but like not 17.
No. 18. No, she was in college. Yeah.
So she's, you know, going to go to jail forever.
Yeah. So before the trial, they were able to test remaining tissue sample from Sean's autopsy. So apparently they had done an autopsy on Sean, but they didn't. Like, they went through the formalities of, like, taking it, but not really, like, analyzing all the results, yeah. You know? So it wasn't until all this happened that they actually did do an in-depth analysis, and they found that chemical...
Antifreeze?
That, yeah. Yeah, evidence of antifreeze. Okay, so, you know, I mean, they have that.
Mm-hmm.
Physical evidence in addition to the confessions. So, you know, it's pretty cut and dry. So Diane and Rachel both pled guilty. Diane was sentenced first and Sarah, who survived.
Thankfully. She survived.
Yeah, she did.
And she's not brain dead?
She has brain damage.
She does.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Okay, so she read a statement. Diane didn't make eye contact with her or show any emotion. And Sarah said, you not only took away my dad and my brother, but you took away my independence, because she is now living in an assisted living facility because of the complications she suffered from the poisoning. I don't know exactly what all the ramifications were besides her speech is slowed. I am surprised that she's living in an assisted facility just from what I've seen, because she is really impressive. She has this really cute, warm smile, and she does not look like Rachel and Diane. Like, Rachel and Diane look just like each other.
They are each other. They're like evil.
Yeah.
Wicked, yeah. Evil people that I don't even understand how somebody could be placed on earth like that.
Yeah. So then the youngest Dodd kid, Brianna, you know, she was the next on the list to get poisoned. She was sent to foster care where she has remained since her mother's arrest.
Who's going to adopt a 12-year-old? That's a really hard age to be adopted.
It's really hard. And it's weird. I mean, the whole thing... You know, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what was going on in their lives, because their Facebook profiles are still up, but they weren't close with any of their extended family.
Probably.
So there was nobody to step in and take.
Yeah, probably.
Brianna, because is from what I gather.
Probably because Diana was such a weirdo that her family probably knew she's like eventually going to do something wackadoo. And they were like, we don't want anything to do with her. So she gets married to, you know, some guy that would marry her. That's like, okay, you're going to take care of me. Fine. I can play my music all day long. And then.
Well, I think she really kept people at arm's length. Like, one of her husband's bandmates says, you know, it all kind of makes sense now. You know, I thought she was a little odd, but I thought that they had a good family, but she never let me in the house. Like, they would practice in the garage or something.
Mm.
But he, you know, it just was not warm and welcoming.
Yeah. Well, she's definitely not warm and welcoming.
But it's so weird. But she's like all about church all the time and keeping like, so I don't know, you know,
maybe she was fighting twisted. Her demons inside. She's like, God, I got to go ask for forgiveness every 5 seconds because I'm thinking about the next way I'm going to kill one of my family members.
I feel like she really felt bad. I don't feel like she felt bad at all.
Well, then what was the church thing about?
I think it was more of just her social outlet.
Oh. And so they were sentenced to life in prison.
Okay. So Diane didn't have a reaction, you know,
to the daughter.
Sarah, to the daughter.
She didn't say sorry.
Uh-huh. And Rachel spoke at her own sentencing and she apologized to her sister for not being able to stand up for what was right. And that she apologized for caused her suffering. And at this point, Sarah has forgiven them both, she says. Diane is serving life without parole. And Rachel is serving life with parole, but she won't be eligible until she is 64 years old. Rachel and Diane are serving their sentences at separate prisons in Missouri, which I think is good. If they were there together, I would think almost like
it'd be like being
that's
home.
Not a sentence. Yeah. Yeah. I pulled up their recent mugshots and they both pretty much look about the same, which was shitty before. I mean, I'm telling you, they looked real shitty and they look shitty still.
Like, what kind of shitty? Like, homely shitty?
This is a good picture of them, like, before.
Oh, they kind of look anorexic.
Yeah, I told you, like, extra skinny.
Yeah, you know when the face of an anorexic person gets, like, real sucked in?
Yeah.
You think they did drugs together?
No.
No? You just think that's their natural bone structure?
Yeah,
natural physique.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish my natural physique was a little sucked
don't
in.
We? Not that sucked in.
Not that sucked in, but sometimes I like that. You know, where your bones and your face kind of have like a little definition.
You're going to trigger some people with eating disorders, Tab.
Okay. You can take that out, Dom John.
No, I didn't mean you had to take it out, but. Yeah, we can't all be perfect.
I'm not saying we should be.
Yeah,
a little junk in the trunk never hurt anybody, Gretchy.
I know. I would love a little junk in the trunk. I got the junk around the middle that hurts.
That
hurts somebody.
That
me.
That has my trainer says that's from stress.
Oh,
pretty sure it's accurate.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's accurate too.
Especially since we're stressed the F out now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is that's all you have for me?
That's all I have for you. So, I mean, here's the thing. When I began this case, I was in a bit of a funk. And I threw myself into this. And then I thought, shoot, I'm not that bad of a mom. This is a bad mom.
This is a really bad mom. There has been a handful of cases lately, too, where there are some really bad moms out there. And I get it. It's fucking stressful to be a mom. But, dude.
Yeah, I feel like even
edibles,
when they reported
okay?
this. Yeah, get edibles. Do what you got to do. Keep it light. I just feel like. There have been, you know, they did, this story was a big, you know, newsmaker, obviously, because it's so bananas. I feel like there's so much more to the whole what happened to Sean thing. Like, did she keep him isolated? He was 26 years old for all that time.
Yes, I bet you don't even know half of what has gone on behind those closed doors, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but that just... that part just really breaks my heart.
Yeah, because you have an autistic son. So you, one, know that
he's not a burden.
they're not a burden, and
they're not a burden. They're just different.
And kids need to love.
Yeah. And you've just got to find creative outlets for them to express themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, every child is so different too, right? So like they each have to be even loved differently.
Yeah.
And cared for differently and talked to differently. Like you can't, just because, you know, they all came from your body doesn't mean that they're all the same. Which is really crazy to me.
Dude, I don't know how people have more than three kids. I mean, I really am an advocate that you stop at two.
Good job at that one.
Yeah. Okay. Clearly. Yeah. Because it is so hard to connect with all of your kids every day. Like me trying to do it, you know, with three kids is, it's extra.
That's the hard part, is just being able
to. These people that have like six, I feel like there'd be like three I wouldn't even say hello to.
I can hardly feed three lunch. You know, I'm like, oh, it's 3 o'clock. Have you guys eaten yet?
Yeah.
Did you guys eat breakfast? I'm a real, really not good at that. So yeah, I think that having a lot of kids is definitely more challenging. But remember when I bring some of Kyla's friends on vacation and stuff, it's not hard. Like it gets easier as they grow up. So I think having four or five or six kids that are 10 and over.
Yes. But you know what? So we just went on vacation with, and Kyla brought a friend, and I was so glad she did, because Tab's oldest daughter is a little out of the age bracket of all the rest of the kids all kind of clumped together. And her friend was a delight. But the thing of it is that, yeah, okay, so they have, do you feel like you really connected with Kyla during that trip? No, because she's with her friend.
I know. So that's another thing. It's like, I think you can only connect to your kids until they're like preteens, 12 years old. Then they all want to have friends. And then you're going to have this kind of age range where you're a little more disconnected.
You have to do things one-on-one with them.
Yes. Yeah. You have to take them on a one-on-one.
Away from their friends.
Away from their friends and away from their siblings.
Yes.
And that's how you connect for your kids.
So I'm saying, if you got like four or five kids, how do you make time? I plan on making time to do one-on-one stuff with my kids when they get to that age. But if you have like five, how do you make time?
It's harder.
It's hard. It's very, listen, hats off to all of you three plus kids.
Yeah.
People.
It's not easy.
But if you're on the fence about having the third, seriously, I recommend stopping at two. It's a whole lot easier to travel, rent a hotel room. Everything is easier for a family of four.
Cars.
Amusement parks, all of it. Cars. A family of five, it's a whole nother car.
You can't also go on some rides, especially like, oh my gosh, when we would take the kids to Disneyland, we had two moms and six kids. It's just impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So.
Oh my God. Remember when we have shoved Kyla on some rides by herself.
By herself, and told her to say she was seven.
Yeah. Where it was like, oh my God, she seriously could fall out.
Remember the one, she's sitting in front of us and I'm like, I could kind of almost hold her if she was going to like fall out. I'm like, I'll jump up and grab her.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Thank God they're all big enough. We don't have to like have the sacrificial Kyla anymore. But yeah.
All right. Well, that was a crazy episode. I'm sad that happened. Fuck, man.
But also, pat yourself on the back, everybody. That's not giving your kids antifreeze. You're good moms.
We're all doing really good.
We're surviving. Yeah. And if you're going a little loco in the quarantino, no schools, fucking maybe get yourself some edibles and eat some pizza. Fuck it. Just don't.
Just don't
poison anybody.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if keto's making you too stressed out, then fuck it.
Oh my, fuck it.
But if it's not making you too stressed out and you're losing a couple pounds, then keep going because, you know, it does work to drop the weight. Another thing I was reading a lot about is weightlifting. That builds the muscle burns the fat. Okay. So it is a good idea to not just do cardio, but to actually get some muscle building. Okay. So start doing that too, Gretchy.
Yeah, I might get back to that. Do we have any reviews you want to read for this? Oh my gosh,
you guys, thank you so much for giving us reviews. We really like them, especially when they're nice. And this week we have all nice ones, Gretchy.
Oh gosh.
So XXFZZI. That is a really interesting nickname, but they say, love them. I find them very entertaining. 5 stars, ladies. Thanks so much. Best ever. Her mom and sister love listening to us. And that's G. Citraro.
You guys probably have a fun family.
Oh, my God. For sure. Not like this family we just talked about. I think it's Lila White or Lila White. She says, clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
She likes listening to the stories that she hasn't heard 50 times already. Thanks so much. A. Collins says, love. Love listening to you ladies. LS32, listening to us is like hanging out with friends. Hannah in Grundy, Virginia. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Her best friend, Katie, and her listen to us every week. Isn't that nice?
That's so nice.
I love when you guys tell your friends. It's so helpful for us, too. So please do that. Melissa H. in Brunsfield, Texas. JPD. Love the banter. I think that's it.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much. Wandering Skeleton. Did we get that one before?
I don't think so. I would remember a wandering skeleton.
I know. That is such an awesome name. The best. And she says, I have so much love for you. 2 Disco Biscuits. Chrissy, eat a dick. And her name is Luna.
Oh, my God. Soul sister. Thank you.
All right. So that's it for today, Gretch. And I think you guys have maybe 4 more days to buy merch.
Yeah.
Right. So get your Disco Biscuits shirts while they last, because I just have the sneaking suspicion they're not going to last much longer. But maybe they will.
Okay.
Okay, clink, clink.
Clink, clink.